You are listening to a Geekcast Radio podcast.
Welcome to Off the Cuff. I am your host, as always, Michael Powers. I'm joined this week by Steve Megatron Phillips. If you've listened to any of the previous episodes over about the last month, you should have an idea of how this format goes. So I'm going to stop reminding everybody because I know that can get a little annoying. Steve, why don't you say hi since I completely... botch that. So yeah, anyways, everyone knows how this is supposed to go. Steve, what would you like to talk about this week?
I thought I'd have some fun with this. Geek bucket list.
Oh no.
It doesn't have to be very long though.
No, oh man.
I know I threw you off your game, didn't I?
A little bit, but you know what? It's interesting because Dana brought games, Mike brought gaming-related topic. You seem to at least be diving into the anything-goes aspect, and I really appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Man, geek bucket list. I assume you have some things?
I have some things that I could throw in there, yes.
Well, what do you got? I want to see.
Well, like, I did have... meet Frank Welker until I found out it was going to cost me $700. And then I was like, well, that's not going to ever happen.
Well, at least not at a con. I mean, you could still run into the guy on the street and stun him with your robot car.
Yeah.
That was a Knight Rider joke.
He wasn't Knight Rider though. He wasn't Kit.
I know. No, no, no. It wasn't that. I was just referencing Knight Rider 2000 where Kit stuns Scotty.
Oh, geez.
And doesn't realize it's him because he's broken. It was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense then why it didn't land at all beyond the fact that it was a Knight Rider 2000 reference.
But yeah, that was one of the things on my bucket list per se because I'd always wanted to meet the guy like at a con or something, but... that would have almost been possible this year, but yeah, I'm not going to go into that. Besides the fact the convention's charging an arm and a leg.
If we're talking about people that we'll never meet, I think I would have liked to have had some type of, I mean, this is a bucket list, right? So anything goes.
Yeah.
I like to have some, I would have like to have had some kind of conversation with Steve Jobs.
That would have been cool, actually.
I say that only because, again, as a you know, self-professed Apple fan, and because I've read both of the biographies on him, and I find him to be a very fascinating person, and I've watched almost every Apple keynote since 2004, and there wasn't a single product that guy could not sell me. Just his enthusiasm for things, and in the biographies, like the way he handled things and the way he got things done, just intrigues me. And I would have liked to have had a conversation with him.
So makes sense.
That's one.
Number two is I'd like to be in, it'll probably never happen, but I'd like to be in like a superhero movie of some kind.
Like even as an extra?
Yeah, just as an extra. Like sure. I was attempting to try and do that for the Batman vs Superman thing, but it fell on a really bad weekend for the one that they were doing in Pontiac.
What about the one in Lansing?
That fell on another bad weekend. I was quite sad.
Sure, you'll have more chances.
Yes, I'm sure. There'll be some of them.
Didn't Michigan shut down that credit?
Yep, it ends in November.
Oh, okay, never mind. You won't have any other chances.
They'll find a new Gotham City. Or whatever. They'll fabricate it. It doesn't matter. I'm screwed. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to be... I've always been fascinated with the films, the feature films or animation or anything, but I'd just love to be an extra in a film just so that I could say, I was there.
I was there when they shot that movie.
Primarily, I'd like to be in a superhero movie, but that's just because that's what my favorite movies are at this point.
I don't know if I would ever want to be in a movie. There was a point where, because I'm like, my job as a projectionist like puts me in a union, that I'm, some part of that stipulates that I'm eligible to work on movie sets.
Oh, that's cool.
So nothing ever came of it. I was told about it by some of the other guys that work in the union that have been there longer. Like, I could have gone down to Pontiac or Lansing for that stuff, but like nothing ever, I never chased it down or anything, but like there's something with the projectionist union, because it's like a stage union too, like projectionist, okay, and stage handling, because like they used to do the lighting at the Whiting Auditorium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they used to be responsible for that. So I don't know how all that stuff works out, but that would have been interesting. A bucket list thing that I would like to do, and this I feel like would be achievable, something I've never really done, mostly because I price myself out of it. I would like to build my own computer.
Oh, it's very doable.
Oh, I know it's doable, but like I said, I always price myself out of it, and I can't justify it to my wife.
Okay.
I mean, mostly makes because sense. I have, I have a computer already, and I don't game on. I'd basically be setting out to build a gaming PC, but I have every console under the sun. So it's kind of like, what do I need a gaming PC for? Like, because I'm going to be able to play all the games anyways.
Okay.
But yeah, I just always, mostly it's my own fault. I always price myself out of it. Like, I try, and then I kind of cut things back, and I think about future-proofing something. Or just getting myself, like, this is a set of standards that I want to adhere to, and I will upgrade it later. But then I think about that upgrade path and having to justify those upgrades to my wife, and it just falls flat. At this point, I think the only way I'm going to achieve my bucket list of building my own computer is either to win the lottery, my wife to die, or to get a divorce. Like, one of those three things has to happen in order for me to fulfill that part of my bucket list. And I know that sounds really strange given how much I like to tinker with things, but it's not about not being able to do it. It's about not, you know, just pricing myself out of it. Because by the time everything's all said and done, I'm looking at spending, like, I don't know, I think the last time I did it was like $1,500 or something like that. Maybe a little more. And at that point, I'm like, I could just buy another Mac.
I tend to not price myself out of them because I have limited funds. I'm usually 99% of the time able to recycle a lot of the old equipment. Because it's, you know, the PC and everything, and I can, other than this last time that I had to upgrade because I had to change from in a kind of crossover motherboard of the old hat kind of PC style to the current age where they use SATA, because I had an IDE SATA motherboard. So I could no longer use those. So a lot of that stuff I had to ditch and buy new of, because my old hard drive was IDE, my old DVD burner was IDE. So a lot of that stuff I had to change out. But most of the time I'm able to price out a computer, like just upgrades from my current PC for under $300.
See, I look at that.
Like, but it's not the state of the art of anything. It's enough of an upgrade compared to what I have, but it's, and it's moving into the new format that I could go much higher. Like my motherboard, I currently have an i3 Pentium, which is dual core, but I could go up to an i7 in this motherboard. My motherboard also supports up to 32 gigs of RAM, and I have 8 in it right now. And it's SATA, and it's got, you know, the PCI Express, you know, or 13 or 16 or something like that, or 16X or whatever. But and my graphics card is old, because I had that before.
Well, see, it sounds like you're, I mean, when you go, so here's I think this is the difference. When you're looking at I'll say building a computer, you're thinking of upgrading like components that you already have, right? You're updating certain parts of your computer
to mostly the central core system, like the processor, the motherboard, and the RAM, and then right. I hope to achieve saving the rest of it.
Right. So then I look at and when I go and I don't have anything to start from.
That's true.
So I'm like, and not only that, like some of it is just my own personal me being who I am. Like I, one of the things I get hung up on is the freaking case, like the tower or anything like. Because I when I sit down and I envision this, I'm like, I want something that's gonna look good in my entertainment center, and there ain't jack out there that looks good in an entertainment center that's being built by case manufacturers, like. The guys that make pre-made machines like Alienware and Falcon and all of them, yeah, they can do it, right? But you can't build an off-the-shelf video game console, not without some heavy modifications of your own, and I don't have the expertise to do that. So, like, when I'm looking at these cases, like, sometimes I'll find one, I'll be like, okay, I could live with that one. And then I go and kind of look at what you can put in there, and you can put, like, next to nothing in there. Like, there's no upgrade path for, like, a graphics card. Or so then I start kind of like making concessions. Like, I think if you remember when at my wedding, I was telling you about that Athlon card that had the built in graphics processor. Like, that was a really cool idea. But then at the end of the day, I was like, now I'm just cutting myself short because I know a dedicated graphics card is better than an integrated one. So, but yeah, I get hung up on the case because, like, I get hung up on a lot of different places, but the case is like the most aesthetic thing that I can think of. And yeah, I could put it in a case or like inside of like a bookshelf or something. But then you got to think about being able to cool the damn thing. It's a mess. In my head, building a computer is like way harder than it actually is. Because I remember spending an entire summer watching my friends build computers. And all I did was slap a new graphics card in my old computer. But it was fun watching them do it, and I learned how to do it, and I learned, like, you know, how you make sure all the parts go together. So, like, I have the technical know-how to do it. I just have to be able to, like, make myself happy.
Oh, okay.
And I just can't. I look at stuff, and I'm like, nope, can't get past it. So that's one of the reasons I stick with consoles, is because they at least look nice sitting under your TV.
Makes sense.
That, and I don't have to fall down the rabbit hole of tweaking driver settings and graphical settings.
You really don't have to do that anymore, though.
I beg to differ. Granted, now I haven't, like, when I sit down and play a game on my, even on my Mac, on the Windows side of it, I do tweak settings to get the frame rate to run consistently. And so I'll lower like the graphics resolution or like the screen resolution that it renders at to get it to run at least consistently. And I've heard from like other podcasts, like even the more demanding games that are out there, like, you know, the Far Cries and the Crysis, like there's a lot of tweaking that needs to be done. Like I shouldn't say there's a lot of tweaking that needs to be done. There's a lot of tweaking that needs to be done if you're as crazy as I am about tweaking things. Because I obsess over tweaking things. I get obsessive about it. And That's one of the reasons why I don't really have a Windows computer, is because I would be defragging that thing every day. Why? Because I can. It's an option. It's there. Why wouldn't I?
What's sad is I do the disk cleanup stuff and I defrag every day before I shut it down.
See? And there's really no reason to do that, but
it automatically does everything.
I remember, like, in college, my Friday and Saturday nights in college was tweaking the crap, running spyware and adware programs and antivirus programs and defragging and watching screensavers and finding different ways to, like, make my computer a little better, including, like, my favorite one was when you do a clean install of the hard drive and you can allocate your swap file. That you make a swap file, you make a partition that is twice the size of the amount of RAM that you have on your computer, and you make that the first partition on the drive. That's supposed to make your swap file faster because the ARM doesn't have to move as far to find the information.
Huh.
Why do I know this?
I didn't know that, but that's good to know.
But that's one of the little things that I like watching screensavers. Like, they show you how to, like, tinker with all that crap. I've never done anything like that on a Mac. Like, I sit down at my Mac, I do what I want to do, and I put it to sleep, and I go away. Like, with a Windows phone, Android phone, when you can see, like, what's consuming your battery life and, like, all that extra junk. When I had my Android phone, I was constantly tinkering with that stuff. I was playing more with that stuff than I was checking Twitter.
Wow.
That's how obsessive I get about this stuff. Like, I've spent like 4 hours like configuring like streaming files from a network drive to my TV one night. The thing does it automatically, but I spent the next 4 hours trying to figure out the best way to do it. Anyways, bucket list. What do you got?
Well, one of my other ones is, and this is more realistic, whenever I actually get this figured out, I'd like to do a panel at a convention someday.
Oh, you mean like?
Like have like a live podcast.
Gotcha. Basically. Yep. Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. Yeah, that would be fun. And granted, we could, I mean, like you said, we could realistically do that like now if we wanted to, but I feel like we'd be sitting in a room with nobody.
That and like, cause you have to plan out everything exactly like of how you're hoping it goes and like different scenarios and have to have everybody on the same page for everything during the discussion and kind of keep it moving. But because panels are very pointed for the most part,
mm-hmm.
like trying to keep it on as on topic as possible. And I'm being that I've had this acting class that I've been doing, I'm slowly learning to get over the stage fright and having people stare at me when I talk.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that's kind of stopping me at the present time. I mean, I'm sure we could get a panel at, like, say, Grand Con if we really wanted one.
Right.
Because this will be our third year going this year. But I don't know if we're actually ready for that yet.
No, that's what I was talking about. My fear is, I mean, because to me, I feel like if we were going to do, like, a panel, like, I feel like we would just be doing, like, a live recording of a podcast. So, like, a live recording of Altered Geek. Like, so the topic could, like, meander around whatever, and then we'd have, like, a question-answer section with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But my fear is, that's the plan, right? But my fear is nobody shows up. That's my fear. just because of, like, I mean, I love working with all the Geekcast Radio guys and all that stuff. And I like doing the podcasting and stuff like that. But my fear is just that we're not, like, at this time, we're just not that big of a, I mean, sure, you might have a couple of people like, what's this? but nobody that's going to
actively say, hey, we need to go see this panel.
Yeah. Or like no one that's going to come see it and have like, for lack of a better way to say this, like an intimate question to ask us, like, cause they don't listen to us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So my screwdrivers, that kind of thing is, you know, what worries me most about it. It's not doing it or having something to talk about or anything like that. It's being in a room with like, you know, two people and a cricket.
And we're sitting there trying to hold a conversation with nobody.
Yeah. I mean, we'd be talking amongst ourselves until we got to the question and answer point. But I feel like at that, once we got there, I feel like the room would then be empty.
Yeah, that would be one of my fears, too.
Yes, and that implies that the two people that were in my imaginary auditorium got up and left.
Ah, this is interesting. It's just a damn podcast. See you later.
So, good time.
I think that would be something cool, though, like, eventually.
Bucket list. If you think of another one, fire it off. I'm trying to think of something. I think I would like to go. I would like to go to the video game museum.
Where's that at?
Oh my gosh!
Let me pull an obscure question and have you answer it.
Actually, I think there's like I think there's one in Washington, like Washington D.C.
Apparently, there are more than one.
There are. There's a
New
bunch
York,
of them.
St. Louis, Dallas, New Hampshire, Washington D.C. Smithsonian.
Yep, that's the one. I mean, I say that, and like I said, I'd like to just go to any one of them. Really, there was one here in Flint for a little while, just an exhibit.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to go see that, but I was interested.
I was too, and also did not go see it. Could have crossed that one off my list.
I know.
But yeah, just like that kind of thing, or going to like tech landmarks. See, here's the thing. When I think of like a bucket, like I'm not, and my wife can attest to this, I am like not sentimental about anything. Like we went to, I don't like going anywhere because when I go somewhere, I just like to go there and do what I would normally do. Like we went to Hawaii for our honeymoon and we still went to Target and I bought a Nintendo 3DS. We went to Best Buy and I bought a memory card and a Fitbit and she bought an iPad. Yeah, sure. We went to the beach and we went driving around and we saw some sights and everything. But for the most part, like when I go someplace, I just like going there and kind of like going about my regular day, but in this different location. So like, I'm going to go out to eat. Okay. What's around here? We didn't go to like any like known fast food places that were while we were out there. We went to like new places to eat, like, that's what I want to do. Or like, I really wanted to go see a movie really badly. And we didn't because I wanted to see Iron Man 3 and she didn't want to sit in the theater for 2.5 hours on her honeymoon. Fine. But I like going to theaters when I go to like some new city because I like seeing different theaters. I don't know. That's like a thing. But I don't get sentimental about things. Like when I say like one of my bucket list things would be like going and seeing like geek landmarks, like going and see like the garage where Apple was started, or, you know, just like stopping by like Apple headquarters or Google for that matter, or anything like that. Like going like on a geek road trip and seeing all these different places, which I understand they're pretty much just down the road from each other. Shortest road trip ever. Like I would go there and be like, that's nice, and then like move on. Like I don't know, I don't get sentimental about this stuff.
I would love to this is just something that realistically could be doable. I mean, I'm not saying like, because I mean obviously I'd like to be a voice actor or something, but I'm not even pegging that on my geek bucket list because that's about as pipe dreamish as being an extra on a film. at this point. It's getting to visit like the Hollywood type stuff in California.
Okay, yeah, but see that to me, I'm not.
That's kind of like your tech, you know, road trip.
Yeah, but and just going back to that, and any kind of road trip, really, like that would be cool too. Like I can totally get behind that, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like it's the same thing to me. Like I could go to the spot where I don't know. I mean, you'd probably have to go to Toronto to see most of the things, right? Or Vancouver. But
maybe
to visit like locations from movies, like,
well, yeah, probably.
But see, like I'm saying, like if I were to go there and be like, oh, that's where this, or like go to like downtown Detroit and see like the, or to Detroit and see the train station that Michael Bay likes to use in all of his movies, like that would be really cool to go down there and see that. But after like 5 minutes, I'd be done and ready to go. And I probably wouldn't take any pictures. Like, I don't know. That's just me. Like, I'm not trying to like, and that's not everybody. I'm not trying to like put you down. I'm just using yours. Cause like, that would be cool too. Like going to all these like famous, like, I don't know if I'd want to go to like the studios necessarily, but maybe like where certain scenes were shot, I think would be a much more fun road trip.
Uh-huh.
But again, you're probably just driving around Vancouver.
I wouldn't care either way, honestly. I've always been fascinated with the behind the scenes type stuff of the TV, film, animation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like any of that, I would love to see the behind the scenes of, despite the fact that there's probably nothing that glamorous about it.
I like to see Pixar in Emeryville.
That would be cool.
That would be neat. Kind of aside from a bucket list, though, is there like a moment in time you would like to visit? Like if you could go, like, I don't know. No, that's a dumb thing. I don't know where I was going with that. I think I was going to say, like, is there like a moment in time that you would like to be able to visit? Like, assume, let's say time travel was invented and you could put like that on your bucket list. Is there like a moment that you would like to visit?
I don't know if there would be. I really don't. Like, it's, I really don't have any like nostalgia to go back in time and visit something. I mean, unless it was maybe like, you know, a point where a certain actor or a certain, you know, tech person were alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could see them at some kind of an event.
Like Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah, like that kind of thing, you know, Gene Roddenberry, I mean, you know, even, you know, maybe going back and seeing, you know, the guys of Apple or something when they're first trying to sell their stuff and, or first started Apple or whatever, just, you know, go to see how that looked back then compared to how it would be now and just, you know, interesting things like that. I don't really know if I would actually do that, but those are the kind of things I'd probably try and check out.
Right. All right. Is there anything else you want to add to your or share about your geek bucket list before we wrap this up?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Is there anything you want to plug?
Altered Geek Unlimited comes out every Friday on Geekcast Radio, and I think that's about it for the moment.
All right. Do something here. Let me get my closing. Okay. So that's it for this week's Off the Cuff. If you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parent site at geekcastradio.com or send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. In the comment section for this episode, why don't you share with us your geek bucket list? If there's anyone that you would like to meet, alive or dead, because time travel is allowed, since this is a geek bucket list. So yeah, let us know, share your geek bucket list with us. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network at Booth Ninja 81. Steve?
You can find me almost on all social media as at SCP21.
All right. See you guys next week. We'll be right back.